Hey listeners, Lex on the Decks here. Before you get stuck into this episode of Hot Girls, I wanted to let you know about something else you may be interested in. Though Hot Girls in its podcast format isn't releasing new episodes any longer, if you head over to my Substack, which is lexonthedecks.substack.com, you'll find more interviews and insight on gender minority artists and how to overcome any barriers to entry. You'll also get the opportunity to sign up to my weekly newsletter, 5 Good Things. This is an email letter which will land in your inbox on Fridays, sharing 5 of my favourite cultural or creative discoveries of the week. You'll find all that on lexonthedecks.substack.com. Thank you, and I hope you enjoy this episode of Hot Girls.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to Hot Girls with me, Lex, on the Decks. I hope you are well and starting to reflect on any blessings 2021 has brought. On today's episode, I am joined by someone who's inspired me and countless other women working as DJs in London. Crystal Rocks is a DJ, music producer, fitness instructor, and she's also the founder of Superfox, which puts on events and handles bookings for many other DJs. Through this conversation, we talk about how Crystal has approached her releases this year and the challenge of resourcing your time in order to both have the impact you want to have on an industry and simultaneously drive your own career forwards. Crystal Rocks also shares how she got started and her advice for anyone young and hungry. So without further ado, Crystal Rocks on the Hot Girls podcast. Let's go.
Ladies, gentlemen,
listen up. You're listening to Hot Girls with Lex on the Decks.
We in the mix.
It's fire.
Keep it going. We on fire.
From London for the world.
Let's go in.
Well, thank you so much for letting us come on. Brilliant.
Thank you for being a part of the show. I'm very interested to hear about your work and your journey. You're doing so many things. I actually wanted to launch straight in with kind of a reflective question.
Yep.
You've obviously been in the music industry for a while and DJing for a while. Mm. What are some key bits of advice that you would give to DJs starting out?
I think it's so funny, with hindsight, knowing what I know now, it's a different industry almost entirely since when I started. So it would be difficult to offer blanket advice in terms of the mechanics of the industry, because it's so different. You know, streaming was not a thing. Oh my God, could you imagine? There was no Spotify. Of course there was iTunes, but there wasn't a you know, if you wanted to release records, you had the traditional ways of doing it and really, you know, burn off a CD and go and give it to label bosses and promoters and radio show hosts and things like that. But in terms of live, it's quite interesting that there's like tiered live work. So there's live work where I first started, which was like in the pubs and clubs in London. And that, I suspect, with the exception of COVID, where everybody lost their job, that's kind of remained similar. And if anything, there seems to be more opportunities now for DJs in general, because I think a lot of live venues, whether it's a pub or a club or a rooftop bar or, you know,
even restaurants,
Oh, exactly. Shops. Exactly. Restaurants. Yeah, shops. You know, everyone wants a DJ, which is great because there's so many people who want to DJ and who love music. I mean, God, it's the best thing in the world. So to be able to play music out is a, you know, an unbelievably good feeling. So the advice really would be play what you love. That's my advice, because that's really all that matters, the music itself. So find venues where you can play the music that you love and spend as much of your time there as possible.
Did you trust your taste early on in your journey, or has it taken, did you at any point try and kind of adjust to play a certain type of thing?
I never questioned my taste. Probably some other people might have done. Some of the crowds might have questioned my taste at times, but I never questioned it because I just love music so much. I think, thankfully, that's why I've been successful, or especially being able to stay in the industry and keep working, because I can't not love it. So, sometimes it would be easier to not love music. It would be easier just to be an accountant and not that there's anything wrong with being an accountant, but not, you know, fall in love with what you do. That is
it's a blessing with its own kind of,
yeah, it's a labor of love. Yeah. You know,
yeah,
but yeah. that's the best part of life. So yeah, so that my advice would be to play venues where you could play the music that you love and keep honoring that. Like if your taste changes, which no doubt it will, then change where you perform.
So going back to that, the start of your musical journey, what initially pulled you to work in music?
The common thread has always been music. I actually started professionally as a dancer and a singer and an actress, but was always drawn to music throughout. So I used to be in pop bands and I always song wrote. Then I learned how to produce music before I learned how to play it. So yeah, I used to be in the studio quite a lot, writing and producing music. And then, yeah, then the opportunity came up to play live and I didn't even question it. I just said, yeah, I can do that, no problem. And I'd never done it before in my life. Yeah, that was the turning point, really.
And did you have a friend at that point you were like, I've got to do this thing, how is that going to work? Or did you get lessons? Or
it was right at the beginning of when digital controllers were being manufactured. So there was a company called Vestax who were making these, you know, essentially portable decks. So I bought this little set of decks and taught myself how to play in about 4 days. It was mad, absolutely mad. And then I opened a venue and it was like a little bar venue in on the embankment.
So then when you had that gig, and then was that a kind of a moment for you of thinking, DJing is actually something I really enjoy and I want to take seriously and be it another part of me? Or did you have a switch moment where you're like, that's what I want to focus on? Or how did you take that fun and kind of professionalize it?
Yes. Oh, how did you take the fun and professionalize it?
What sentence?
How did you do that? I've no idea how I did it. I just kept doing it. I just kept showing up. And I remember thinking I could just, I came up with this whole persona, Crystal Rocks, and it, because it didn't start with that. I just started, I think the name was horrendous. It's awful. The first, I don't even want to say it out loud.
It's like, I can see you having a sort of cringe flashback.
I can't even say the name. No, it was because I started out as Dolly DJ. That is the truth. Dolly DJ, as in a doll, Dolly. Because... I know, awful. And you know,
wow.
And you know what? It's because when you're in theatre, you're referred to as a dolly bird. And that is like, you know, like when you're in the chorus of a show.
Yes.
Like high kicking, singing, all that jazz. That's the slang, or it certainly used to be 100 years ago when I was in theatre. So that's where the first name came from. And it was like, Oh, so cringe. I was so cringe. I still am. That was the starting point. That was the starting point before Crystal Rocks. But the whole thing was fun. I professionalized it because I just kept working and I was paid to do it. And so I was so lucky that I could just keep doing it. And then the name came about and then, yeah, all sorts of things changed.
Yeah. Yeah. And how did radio feed into your journey? Because it's quite separate to the live scene.
Yes.
Right? So, and some people pick a lane and don't want to cross over.
Yeah. Oh, I loved it so much. I had a long time Friday night show with Soho Radio, which I've only just recently kind of stopped doing, but it was so wonderful. And it came about because the first site was on Windmill Street in Soho, and a friend of mine, I was actually songwriting with the owner's brother. He's a bass player for Robbie Williams. So, and it was weird. I'd done a support show. It's so weird how life works. I'd done a support show with Robbie Williams because I used to have a band. Mm. So I had me, and then I had trumpet, trombone, sax, drums, guitar. And we had this live electronic rock show, and we did some really beautiful, brilliant shows. And one of them was to support Robbie Williams. And so I met the bass player, and it turned out that he knew the guy who owned Soho Radio, and it was his brother. And then I just kept kind of hounding the guy until he gave me a show. And I just loved the thought of being able to piece together music and interviews, especially from other women DJs, producers and artists and things like that. So I just kept saying to him, wouldn't that be a brilliant idea? Doesn't radio need an all-female focused driven platform so women can come and share their music and their life experience? Wouldn't that be amazing? And in the end, he was like, yes, it would be amazing. You can do Friday
nights.
It's
going to be amazing.
I know. And that was it. And then we did Friday nights, and it was just the most amount of silly fun. And it was informative and meaningful and authentic and brilliant. And we just, we got to play so many incredible guest mixes from women around the world. Felt so blessed and had a really great team. It was great fun.
Yeah. One of the things that I really love about doing this podcast is that I find after every interview I do, I just come away with just like a whole new energy and feeling of just like love and joy from getting to speak to other women who work in music, who have had their own journeys. And I imagine doing the show was much like that. You know, whatever the chaos is before of organizing it, then you get there and it's just like a joy injection.
Yes, it really was as well. It was such a treat. There's just something magic about when women get together and talk about what they've learned. And music is like the most magical extension of that because it's emotive and it brings people together. And they, you know, there is a common shared experience through music. Jem Cook came in, and Camden Cox and Karen Harding, people like that. And we, you know, they were sharing how and why they'd written certain records and how it came together. And then I teamed the recording artist up with a fitness influencer and someone in social change. And it was just really powerful chat. Mm. And you like exactly how you've just described, you feel full. I felt full at the end of it. You know, it was just brilliant. And I was so grateful to have a space where I could learn myself and practice, because there's nothing like learning bang on it, you know, straight in the moment. And you've got to control everything. You've got like, especially when we first started the first site, it was like this little spaceship hub. Yeah, really, really beautiful time.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You obviously mentioned that you paired an artist with a fitness influencer, and obviously you're very active. I know you're very active in yoga and practicing and teaching. And how have you found having lifestyle of yoga and being healthy? It doesn't always play hand in hand with DJing and nightlife and the music industry. How have you built that balance? And has that been a personal journey, or was that something that was always part of you?
The fitness side of it was always a part of it, because I love to dance and I loved to work out. So it was a no-brainer for me. Like, I did lots of like Nike events, and especially when I partnered with JD, and that was such a great opportunity to team together, especially like different genres of music and different styles of working out. It was, again, like, it was not even a deliberate thing. It was just a natural, like a recipe, you know, like it just worked brilliantly. So I used to love making workout playlists and workout mixes, especially like I used to like producing, you know, specific workout mixes, because I also had a really strong understanding of the power of music and how motivating that is, not just on a dance floor, but you know what it's like. I don't know if you run or anything like that, right? It's like you put on
It makes all the difference. I was thinking, like, imagine being on a treadmill without music. I can't.
It's just not worth going to. It's just not worth it. It's not even worth it. Why would you even bother? It's true. Like, actually, and never was I more reminded of that than the other day, post COVID, going back into a DJ set and feeling like a deflated car tire before I went into the gig. And then putting on, I was like, you know what I'm going to need? It's like prescriptions for me. It's always felt prescriptive music. And, you know, straight away I went for the Jocelyn Brown and the Chaka Khan, and I went in on some like disco edits. I mean, mate, what COVID? COVID? Never heard of it. I felt like a flipping firework. It was crazy. Absolutely amazing. And so for me, that's the true power of it. It's not something I can articulate with words, but it's definitely something I can feel in my feet.
Yeah. It just happens.
Yeah, quite. Yeah. Like, in, especially with them working out. And as I say, with the power of what we were doing with JD Sports for a long while was really, really, really cool, because it was like, you know, prescriptive music for workouts. And we did things like curated playlists for like little runs and stuff that we partnered with their sub brands. And, you know, we were like at one point driving a bus around London with four Super Fox dancers and me DJing. And we were like going through the streets of London, like motivating these pro runners. And you know what's going to get them. You just know what they're going to need at, like, you know, the 4 mile point, the 5 mile point, like, you know, it's time to get out the drum and bass.
I want to get onto production and your releases, but before we talk about that, I also just wanted to ask about entrepreneurship, because you've obviously founded Superfox and awarded Times Entrepreneur of the Year or something. Am I right?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. gosh, that's a distant memory. No, it was We Are the City, who are like founded by Vanessa Valley. It's like a tech startup award scheme that's supported by the Times, and it was women in tech across the board, you know, and women doing interesting things. And yeah, I won the category for music.
Congratulations. Even though how important do you think it is to be an entrepreneur working in music, or be and I guess entrepreneur, it maybe is a word that has quite a few connotations attached, because I think a lot of people wouldn't necessarily describe themselves as entrepreneurs, but I suppose it's the same as being a self-starter, really.
Yes, it is the same as being a self-starter. I certainly didn't set out to be a founder. I just did it. really. It just kind of happened, and it happened as a result of, again, just seeing, like, you know, where I could add value in the industry, really. And definitely it was a byproduct of touring. I'm so grateful to have toured as much as I did at the beginning, because I could, again, see I had this really niche kind of viewpoint of not just the music industry, but for women globally, you know, the opportunities they had and didn't have. And I felt very, very lucky to be able to be, you know, playing music as a job. It was just like, this is insane. Like, you know, I didn't come from like where that would even be a possibility. I had no experience of it whatsoever. So to find myself, you know, touring certain parts of the world, especially like India and Brazil, and yeah, I just thought, oh wow, women don't get opportunities like this, and let's create more of them. And that's why I started Superfox.
On that point, do you think things have improved and opportunities have improved for women in music in the time that you've been working in it?
Yes, 100%. I think they've vastly improved. There's some incredible organizations that support women in music. I mean, I remember when She Said So first came out, I remember thinking, thank God.
Yeah.
This is amazing. Thank God. Because I actually felt kind of a lot of responsibility at the beginning. I felt like, I mean, certainly it was mostly down to myself, but I felt like, you know, someone had to do something about the lack of representation. There definitely wasn't the lack of women wanting to do it. Arguably, probably more now so, because it's inevitable. Once you see women doing something, then they become inspired to do it too. It's a ripple effect. So I think there's many more opportunities now. Yeah, I'm pleased to say it's definitely improved. I think it's got a huge long way to go. Those foundations, like the consistency of work that we deliver, especially on the live scene, and I think that takes a long time to change long term, you know, to consistently deliver. And that is really where I would love for Superfox to kind of go next, is to have more consistent live appearances, you know.
Yeah. So production, you said you started in songwriting, so yes, you'd worked on that for a long time and you were in the studio a lot. From a technical aspect, what did you start learning? Were you in Logic? What were you using?
Yeah, I started in Logic, and I really, you know, I enjoyed it. But as soon as I moved over to Ableton, you know, it was a total game changer for me.
And this podcast is not sponsored by either software partner, so everything you're hearing is authentic.
Very well said. My personal preference was that I loved Ableton, and I just started working in it. I just, again, like, taught myself, you know, the fundamentals of it, and just with remixing and making edits, because I had the band and we had, you know, we had a live element to it, but we had the live instrumentation from the actual band, and then we had the work that I put together electronically, which ended up being like, I had to make, like, I didn't have to, it just, again, happened, but like 300 edits of records. And I loved it. I absolutely loved deconstructing a record and taking the best bits and then building my own kind of big, massive puzzle of sound. And then, yeah, Ableton was just an amazing bit of software to just, like, the time code behind it all is magic. So you're locked in terms of live sampling and remixing, and then if you're going to throw in instruments over the top of that, yeah, it just was the go-to software. But I'm by no means like an exceptional producer. I've just been working with a girl called Lightning, who is like lightning. She's incredible. And so for me, it's like, you know, I can engineer a record to about 10-20%, but I always work with producers and engineers because my expertise is in the orchestrating the whole project together, from the lyric, the melody, mostly the melody, especially to start with, and then what other production elements we need as we go along. I can sonically hear, but I'm so slow to build stuff from scratch. Whereas when I can work with somebody, people who are day in, day out producing, then it just, the process takes on a whole new level. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I think it's like you get to actually really use what is your skill set by kind of collaborating with other people and get the best out of them to create something really great. Otherwise, it can be quite a painful process, I think.
That's exactly it. I believe greatly in continually learning. So I'm always doing a course of some sort. And there's an amazing woman called Zylo Aria, founded Women in Music Production. And her course
is that the collaboration with Saffron Sound or different?
I don't know about the collaboration side of it, but she is just phenomenal. You know, there's nothing, there's no stone unturned with her. Like she, everything you could have thought of, and especially with Ableton, but you know, any software, she's got it covered. So I've done various music production courses along the way. I just keep doing them really just to learn. But there's so many brilliant ways now, like Splice, for example, just blows my mind. It's just unreal that you could just go and anything you want musically is basically there, and you can just then start having fun with it and making it your own, you know?
Yeah, I think Splice has changed. It's just made sampling a lot more accessible, and that's really powerful because it just sort of lowers the bar to entry, which I think is a really great thing, particularly when it comes to making the industry a bit more democratic. If it's easier to pick up, or it's easier for you to kind of tap in and plug in when you're getting started, then that's amazing. I'm like
Absolutely.
You, I'm obsessed with learning. As soon as I find out a little bit about something, I want to like learn the detail and more detail and more detail.
It's so great. It's so brilliant. It's a really great, like, again, like the curiosity. Yeah. I have a constant dialogue going where I have to continually work hard at getting out of my own way, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's a process for me constantly. When I have that voice that says, oh, you know, you're not good enough, I need to make sure that I am, you know.
Yes.
Go back in and learn again and learn something else and get curious, even without, you know, necessarily there being a destination or a goal. It's just like learning is fun.
Yes, totally. No, I completely agree. I think if the simplest way I find to be confident in something is just to know that I've put more hours in than necessary.
Yes.
And then it's like, it doesn't matter whether I feel naturally confident. I know I've done enough hours to just be here. So
great. Exactly. And then you can enjoy it, right?
That's
the magic recipe.
Completely. So you said that one of your ambitions for Superfox is to start doing more live things. Do you think you'll look at putting on owned events or curating stages, or what would you like to do in that space?
I would love for us to curate stages. I think there's something really particularly special about festivals and the format of a festival. And I'd love for us to have a voice in that space. Mm. And in the meantime, it's been a massive reset with COVID, because we were... just before the pandemic, we had a beautiful run of shows at Ibiza Rocks, where we were able to put on, you know, essentially like a day party a month that was all female led. And of course, it had a great sports element, because our partners, JD Sports, were wanting that, really. You know, we were able to go, you know, the world your oyster, what can we create in terms of a workout with DJs? And so it was so powerful and such a special series of parties. That's what I'd love to kind of look at again next.
Particularly after the past year of not being able to do that, it's just like, okay, where do we take the creativity when the world starts to come back? What can we do that's fresh?
And I think people have been, of course, apprehensive, because guidelines constantly change. And for me personally, like, it was Superfox. For me, I was able to kind of put a pause on it, put a pin in it temporarily while I concentrated on my music. I'm constantly being told to do my job, you know, and, you know, get more music out there and keep creating. And so it's a constant balancing act, but it's one I really love. You know, I feel so grateful to be able to continue to make music and have an outlet for it. So I switched up where the focus was, because traditionally for a long time I was just concentrating on Superfox, and then I kind of forgot about my own stuff entirely. Mm. Yeah.
How do you find reminding yourself that your first responsibility is to yourself?
Oh my God. I need a small army of people reminding me constantly. Going, you're doing it again. You're doing it again, Crystal. You've forgotten. You've not put your own life jacket on. You're just like saving Superfox. And it's really hard, because it's like my passion is to see women do well, really. I just get such a kick out of watching the game change and seeing like women have fun and have more opportunities and be supported and creating a consistent change in an industry that just isn't normally supported. It takes close friends and colleagues reminding me, which is why handed over the radio show to one of our fantastic DJs, Molly Mouse, who's so brilliant. And she's doing a phenomenal job. And it's just freed me up to be able to concentrate on the records, which was, you know, totally necessary.
Of the records and the release process, has there been one of the tracks or a moment that has been a real highlight? Whether it's like getting the first one on Spotify or someone saying something to you about one, or has there been... And yeah, there's a little boost that you get. I mean, sure, there's been lots, but anything that stands out.
The Lab EP that we released last year was a really wonderful moment, because we didn't have a label, and my manager and I just came up with this kind of concept that it would be like a tech house kind of motivating, like everyone's at home going out of their mind, and these records would be like rocket fuel. So we came up with this like Lab, Get in the Lab, that kind of concept EP. And then it just started getting playlisted really significantly. And we started hitting over a million streams on a couple of the records. And then we were approached by lots of labels. And it was a real moment of like, oh, wow, people are really responding well to this vibe. And of course, it's a great feeling, because, you know, it's an extension of me as an artist. The sound that we release is me. And yeah, and just very recently getting good feedback from the first record that I've just released with Ultra Records, which is really exciting. And having like, you know, specific DJs who I've loved, who I've played their records, you know, for decades, feeding back on my record going, we really like it. Can you send me this? Can you send me that? You know?
So you're like, yes, and by the way, I really like you.
Yeah, I know. And I, you know, I'm notoriously not particularly cool about all this stuff. I'm just like, if it's a particular artist that I like, then, you know, the music speaks for itself, you know.
Yeah, and I did also want to just kind of tap in on that point you made around the Lab and releasing it independently, because obviously having released on labels as well, that must have been quite an intimidating thing. But I feel like I keep seeing artists getting in situations where they get stuck, whether it's through a label deal or through various other things. And I do think it's, while there are so many benefits to those deals and they can be really appealing, it's also really nice and reassuring to hear about people who have just made something they liked, got it out, found the way to distribute it, and then had success off the back of it. Because it's sometimes, I think, you just want to keep moving. And as long as you can find a way to keep moving, then you're okay, and you will stay in the industry, and you can kind of stay.
Yeah. And I think whatever it is that people enjoy doing, it is the keeping moving that's important. I think you've said it really well. Like I recently likened it to like unblocking a plug hole. Like, you just need to keep in flow, and creative, like that spark that you experience with music, that has to be set free. If you don't set that stuff free, and I know from experience, it will burn you alive. You know, if you're passionate about music, especially music, or whatever your art is, of course, we're talking about sound, you owe it to being alive to release it into the world. Again, without any kind of attachment or any expectation to the art itself. Like, I forget which beautiful philosopher has said this, but it is basically not about the art and you at the end point of that process, wherever you deem the end, like the record is now on Spotify. It's none of my business what it does for everybody who listens. I can hope that it's it brings them joy.
Mm.
And that's all I can do. My job is to do the process to the best of my ability and keep doing it, keep staying in flow.
Yeah, I think it's, and maybe it's Stephen Pressfield or it might be a Stoic philosopher, but it says, you are only entitled to the product, not what happens, not the result or something.
It's exactly that. It's exactly that. You're not entitled to the result. It's down to their perception.
My final question for you, if you could change one thing about the music industry, what would it be?
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I think I would change in a live capacity. I would change that there would be a quota of spaces for women on every lineup, and that was just the musical law. Because there's no short of incredible female talent.
Mm.
It's just women are kind of starting way back often. They're not even starting at the starting line of most people. And it's true of many industries, but we're starting way back. So there is, for me, the most problem that we have in the industry is having a space where women can speak confidently. And so it would help if there were some, just like a quota of spaces that we knew were reserved for new female talent. I don't like the thought of things slipping back, you know.
Mm.
But yeah, we shall see. I think things have turned a corner for good forever now.
Yeah, I hope so. I think, and I'm sure this has always been the case, but I feel like I'm constantly meeting and surrounded by just women who have the tenacity and the kind of fire in them to just say, I don't care how hard it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm doing it anyway.
Yeah. And, to consistently keep fighting. And as you say, with She Said So and Key Change and the increasing pressure.
As long as the platforms exist, we're making progress.
Mm.
That's the most exciting thing.
Crystal Rocks, thank you so much for sharing your journey with us. What are your plans for the rest of 2021?
Oh,
how do you plan your releases a long way in advance? Or are you like, I've made something, I want to get out?
We are planning there's a nice consistent distribution of records. So yeah, there's some more new music on the way, which I'm really excited about. I just got the mix back from last weekend, and that's really exciting. I feel like I've just taken we've been able to take the music on to a new level. It's got a bit more of an indie flavor, which I'm really excited about.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the plan is just to continually keep getting into the studio, writing music, working with new producers and new songwriters. I love to collaborate. I love to just get in the studio and come in with a couple of ideas and see what we come out with. It's the best feeling ever. So more music and a couple of festivals, a couple of live. Oh, I just miss playing out. So just, playing out as much as possible.
Playing out and staying healthy.
Music. Playing out, staying healthy. Getting that good balance. But I like it. I'm kind of happy that there's such a big push towards day parties now.
Mm.
People are happy to go out at 2 in the afternoon and finish at midnight. I'm like, this suits me great.
Yeah, because you can have a great night and then also have a great night's sleep. And what's wrong with that?
Good combination of things. Yeah. Prioritize the party.
I know. I'm such a morning person, but also love nightlife, which is a hard thing.
Yeah, are you? How do you balance it?
I don't know if I do. I'm extremes. So yeah. I will be a morning person, a morning person, a morning person, and then have a huge night out and then just write off the next day. And so I don't know if that's balancing.
Yeah.
I think that's just my way of dealing with it.
Yeah.
I like to be productive. I kind of just like to do things hard. So I like to work really, really hard.
Uh-huh.
And then party hard, but not together.
Yeah.
You know, so I will work. So if I'm passing hard, I'm not working hard the next day because I just can't.
Yeah.
Because I like to feel good and I like to feel healthy. So I like to do both things properly, but not like back to back.
Yes.
You know?
Back. Yeah. You need a little time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to sleep, you know?
Yes.
Chris Rocks, what are your handles? Where can people find you? And what are your favourite social channels?
The favourite social channels, of course, is Instagram for me. It's just the go-to platform for any fun audio, visual, silly, great content. It's just all at Crystal Rocks with a K and two X's.
XX. Everywhere.
Oh, it's been so fun talking to you, darling. Thank you.
So fun. I have loved this conversation and thank you. I'm glad to hear you're feeling a bit better, but hopefully you're still resting. Yes. And looking after yourself.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
And if I need a boost, then it's Chaka Khan.
What up, Lex?
On the prize, it's no surprise. Good women, we're destined to rise. Yeah. Inspiring, celebrating, uplifting the new generation. Some hot girls, you know the vibe. Yeah. All the hot girls come alive. All the hot girls, you know the vibe. All my hot girls come alive. Yeah.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.